Well, it's been a couple years ago now that my family and I were sitting in a movie theater in Lake Havasu watching the first Despicable Me movie that came out. And the reason we are in the theater is not so much that we wanted to see the movie, it's that it was like 167 degrees in Lake Havasu. And it was so cool because we got there that afternoon and my family was the only family in the entire theater. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. There was no other people there at all, period. And so Cole and I sat with my wife, Renee, and my daughter Ruby for a little while, and then Cole and I decided to go sit down front for a little while, and then we went to the back, and then later on we were just running around the theater like the Minions. It was awesome. And I can remember watching this movie thinking to myself, this is ridiculous. I mean, what is this even about? I mean, this movie will never make it. I mean, what is the whole idea that every person watching it just makes up their own storyline and plot? I mean, I don't understand. However, by the time the movie was over, it was actually pretty amazing and infectious, and it had a pretty good moral to it. In fact, listen to what this website, movieguide.org, says about Despicable Me. This movie has strong Christian redemptive worldview with very strong moral elements showing answered prayer and the triumph of love by three little girls over the sinfulness of man. Pretty powerful. The question for us today is, why are we bouncing off of Despicable Me as the last message in this At the Movies series? And the big reason is simply this. It's because the way the first movie starts is with these three girls praying desperately to be adopted. And then the movie continues on and it contrasts like the despicable part that every human being has with the transforming power of sincere prayers. And here's what I believe. I believe that every single one of us, whether we come to church a lot or come to church a little bit, every single one of us has that side that we don't really want to talk about. It's that side that we don't really want to admit, but it's a little bit despicable. We don't want to talk to our friends about it. We don't want to talk to our family. We definitely don't want to talk to a pastor about it because it's just kind of despicable. And the good news is this, that since Jesus died on the cross, we can take all of us, even our despicable parts, to God in prayer. That's the good news. The bad news is, very few of us actually go to God in prayer. Now, we talk about prayer, we read about it, we listen to other people pray, but we spend very little time as human beings in prayer. And I have a theory as to why that is. I think we spend so little time in prayer because, frankly, we're not exactly sure how it works. Or can I even say this in church? We're not exactly sure if it works. Does it even work? For many decades of my life, I went to God in prayer. But to just be honest with you, I felt a lot of times like there was very little power in my prayer life. And I came to realize part of the big reason was because I had a fundamental problem in my prayer life. And some of you will be able to resonate with this. If you're taking notes, this will get us tracking. That is that most of my prayers were monologues and not dialogues. I was kind of treating God as though he was a genie at a fast food restaurant drive-up. I would drive up, I would place my order with God, and then I would expect to pick up my order 3 or 4 minutes later. And I was frustrated by prayer, because my prayers were monologues and not dialogues with God. After studying the Bible for a while, after reading several other good books by guys like Bill Hybels and Walter Wangerin, I have come to believe, as Walter says, that prayer is actually like a circle. And I'm so excited today to share this message with you, because I think this message gives a great representation to all of us of what actually happens when we pray. This message is kind of like a behind-the-scenes look or a backstage pass into our prayer lives. So here's the first thing that happens in prayer. The first thing is that we talk. You probably understand that. We talk to God, but a lot of times we're not sure how to talk to God or what we should even say. In the Bible, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus shares with us how we can talk when we talk to God. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 5, Jesus says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Verse 7, "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words." There's several things we can learn there that Jesus tells us about talking to God. The first thing is this: pray regularly. Verse 5, verse 6, and verse 7 all say, "And when you pray." Not if you pray, not if you get in such a jam that you have to pray, when you pray. You see, Jesus assumes that all of his disciples will have a regular time of prayer woven into the daily fabric of their lives. And let me just ask you this, on all of our campuses, how many of you are morning people? By a show of hands on all campuses, don't be shy, if you're a morning person. Yeah, quite a few probably. Then you should be praying in the morning. How many of you shouldn't be talking to anybody in the morning though? Yeah, how many of you are night people on all campuses? Raise your hand. Yeah, then you talk to God at night. Here's something kind of funny, by the way. How many of you are morning people married to night people? Yeah, God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? But here's the thing. Here's what I want you to know. The time of day isn't the main thing. The main thing is that you make an appointment with God for some uninterrupted time with him every day. Pray regularly. Here's the second thing. Pray humbly. Look at verse 5 again. Jesus says, "Do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full." I don't know if you would be willing to admit this. Certainly don't raise your hand or point on this one. But have you ever been involved in one of those churches where when people start to pray, they pray these huge, long, flowery, bold, impressive, like perfect prayers? It's like as soon as somebody begins to pray, they have a whole nother, you know, language that they use, a whole nother dialect, and it's like old English. I kind of grew up in a church like that. And it's nothing against the church. The church I grew up in was great. The pastors were great. But this is just kind of what happens sometimes when people get together to pray. It's kind of our human nature, I guess. Jesus knew it. I can remember when our youth group would get together on Sunday nights, and as soon as our Sunday night meeting was over, our youth pastor would always circle us up and say, "Okay, we're gonna have a prayer circle," and he would always pick someone to pray, and it would never fail. The person who started out this prayer circle would go on to pray this amazing, beautiful, powerful, like perfect prayer. And while this person was praying, you know what I'm thinking? Wow, that's a great prayer. I mean, that is an amazing prayer. And so while this person was praying, you know what I was doing? I was working on my prayer. And I know none of you, of course, would have ever have done this when you're in a prayer meeting with people, but I was working on my prayer because I knew it was coming around to me. And you know what? It would never fail. The prayer circle would get around to me, and there'd be a kid sitting like right next to me named Josh. And you know what Josh would do? He would take my prayer. Does this ever happen to you? He would like pray the exact same thing that I was getting ready to pray. And I would want to stand up and be like, "Josh, that was my prayer. I was just going to say that exact same thing." Now you put me in a real bind here. I got to come up with a whole new prayer in like 10 seconds. Right? You ever been there? And so here's what I learned. I learned as soon as our youth pastor said, "Who wants to open this thing up in prayer?" I would raise my hand and say, "I would love to do that." And I would just go on to pray for everything under the sun. And I would leave everyone else in the toughest spot imaginable. And I know that sounds so crazy, but even Jesus in the Bible realized there's this strange tendency inside of us to want to impress people by the way that we pray. And it sounds so silly, but it's true. Sometimes we want to pray the perfect prayer in order to just get praise from people. And you know what Jesus says? He says, you can do that. Todd, you can do that. You can use prayer to impress people, pray in the perfect prayer. But if you do that, you just need to know this, that perfect prayer, and you get the pat on the back and you get the congratulations, that's fantastic. Guess what? That's your reward right here on this earth. And I think that's why he talks about praying humbly. And then he goes on there to say that we should pray privately. When we talk to God, pray privately. Look at verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Now, pause here a minute and realize that Jesus is not saying that it's wrong to pray in public. He did that. Other people did that. Jesus is just stressing how crucial it is to also pray in private, a place with few distractions, a place where you can actually concentrate. It's a private place where no one is judging or rating your prayers. It's a private place where your prayer is more desperate than it is detailed. It's a private place where your prayer is just more real than it is rehearsed. And the Bible says when we do that, it says that God will reward you. Notice that also in verse 5, you're praying towards men and your reward comes from who? Men. In verse 6, you're praying towards God and your reward comes from who? From God. And I can tell you this today, that if you will begin to pray privately, if you will begin to pray humbly, if you will begin to pray regularly, I can guarantee you what's going to happen next in your prayer life. Here it is. This is the second thing. Are you ready for it? This is going to blow your mind. God listens. Is that awesome? Don't let that slide by too fast. God is ready and waiting and willing to listen to you, like the big G God, like the God of the universe, the God who hung the sun and the moon and the stars. Just like you and I would hang ornaments on a Christmas tree, is ready to listen to you. And friends, listen, the miracle of prayer is not that we talk, but the miracle of prayer is that God listens. Let me say that again. The miracle of prayer is certainly not that we talk, but the miracle of prayer is that God listens. And in fact, it is the listening of God that turns our feeble human words into intelligible prayers. Some of you parents will understand this and be able to relate to this if you've had little kids at some point in your life. When Renee and I's kids were littler, Ruby and Cole, sometimes they would get sick in the middle of the night, wake up with a fever. I'm thinking of my son Cole, especially maybe in the preschool age, he would wake up and his clothes would just be wringing wet. You know what I'm talking about? His hair is just stuck to his head. He's laying in bed and he tries to lift his huge head up off of his pillow and he just can't. So what's he do? He just begins to moan. He just starts to moan. And you know what? My son Cole doesn't even know what he's saying. But guess what? It doesn't matter. Because as soon as he begins to moan, guess what? My wife, Renee, hears him. She jumps up. The hall light flashes on. She goes into his room. She assesses what's wrong really quickly. It's amazing, actually, to watch. She leaves the room, comes back with a humidifier, some cool towels, and almost always his juicy cup. I cannot even tell you how many times that type of communication has been accomplished in our house. Not because Cole knew what he needed. All he knew is that he was sick. Not because Cole chose and crafted just the right words. All he did was moan. You see, communication was accomplished because his mom was listening. And even more than listening, she was able to interpret the moan. You see, it's my wife, Renee, that shaped the cry into communication. And I just want you to know that it's exactly the same way with you and me. and God. In the Bible, in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says, we don't even know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. The bottom line is this: whenever you begin to pray, the light goes on in the hallway of heaven. And it doesn't matter if your prayers are articulate or ignorant or quiet or loud, God is always listening. And the miracle of prayer is certainly not that we talk, but the miracle of prayer is that God listens. And if God is going to listen to us, you would have to think, just like in any other normal conversation with any other person, God is also going to want to take time to respond. And this is where the communication continues. This is where God talks. We serve a talkative God. Are you aware of this? A talkative God who listens to and responds to all our prayers. Everybody say all. All our prayers. Maybe you're having a conversation with me right now in your head saying, well, Todd, I don't know about all. I mean, maybe all of your prayers, because you have the whole pastor thing going on, right? But I'm like just a normal person. I don't think all my prayers. Listen, God listens and responds to all our prayers. Now, he may not respond the way you want him to, but he always responds. Bill Hybels is an author and a pastor, and in his book, Too Busy Not to Pray, Bill Hybels suggests four ways that God responds to all of our prayers. And I want you to know that these four things have shaped my prayer life over the last two decades. These four things have helped me understand exactly how prayer works. And I want to share them with you today. Here's the first thing. If the request is wrong, God says no. Right? He can do that. Sometimes the request that we're offering up to him is just wrong, and sometimes he's just going to say no. We can pray some pretty self-centered, short-sighted prayers, can't we? Have you ever found yourself praying for your wishes rather than God's will? In the Bible, in James chapter 4, verse 3, it says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that God loves me enough to say no sometimes, or a lot of times. I mean, think about where your life would be if God said yes to every single one of your requests. Can you imagine that? I just wrote down a few things just recently. First of all, I would probably own a candy store, because that was one of my earliest prayers. I would have a chain of candy stores. I would have been married in the fifth or sixth grade to Sarah Jane, because that's what I prayed for. It would have been really weird. I would have never been sick. Nobody in my family would have ever been sick. Actually, no one I ever known would have ever been sick. I would currently be living on the beach in Hawaii doing nothing with my life. Right? Because I'm telling you, I promise you, I can pray some pretty short-sighted prayers. And I'm telling you that I'm so glad in my life that I have a God who loves me enough at times to say no. If the request is wrong, you just got to know this. God will say no. Here's the second thing. If the timing is wrong, God says, slow. Now, how many of you know this is worse than no? Isn't it? Oh, God, please just don't say slow, just say no. But he doesn't say no, he says slow. When my daughter Ruby was little, maybe preschool age, seemed like every time I turned around, I was saying to her, in a minute. Can we go outside? In a minute. Can we blow bubbles? In a minute. Can we read a book? In a minute. And I'll never forget this occurrence when we were just moving to Southern California and Renee sent me to Target to pick up some things with Ruby. Now let me pause here and say that mommies know all about how to navigate the Target deal. Daddies, not so much. And so I'm going to Target with Ruby to pick up some things, and she's a little bit rambunctious at this age, and so I know I'm gonna need something, and so I walk up to the front of the Target, and it's wonderful because I see these carts. And so I put her in a cart, and we're heading into Target. And most of you know how Target's laid out. There's like this deli there, and they have this thing called the icy. And Ruby sees the icy, and she starts saying, can I have an icy? And I, of course, say, in a minute. We go a little bit further, can I have an icy? In a minute, can I have an icy? In a minute. And I've said this to her like 47 times, and no kidding, we're coming back by all the checkout stands and all these people, and my beautiful, amazing, fantastic little girl jumps out of her cage and throws herself down and starts like making snow angels on the floor in front of all these people. I have no idea what to do. People are freaking out. Moms are looking at me like, just pick her up and hit her and put her back in there. You know, moms know exactly what to do, but I have no idea. And some of you are saying, yeah, what you're talking about, it sounds like a little 5 or 6 year old kid, and it does. But doesn't it also sound a lot like some of us? Isn't there an impatient child that resides in so many of us? Let me ask you this. Have you ever pitched a fit in front of God? Have you ever started out a prayer with something like this? God, you don't understand. Which is a terrible way, by the way, to communicate with God. God, you don't understand. I don't want it in 2 days or 2 weeks or 2 months or 2 years. God, read my lips. I want it now. And I think God looks down at you and looks down at me and says, Todd, guess what? You can flop around and scream all you want. You can pitch a fit all you want, but the answer is still slow. The timing is just not right. The request is fine. It's just not the right time. And so that's God's answer to that request. Here's the third thing. If you are wrong, God says, grow. I'm pretty sure that it's this third point right here that most often short circuits my communication with God. There's just things in my life that I need to admit, things in my life I need to confess before I can move on. Did you realize that unconfessed, unresolved, unadmitted sin can actually short circuit your prayers to God? In the Bible, in Isaiah, chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. Listen, the Lord is not too weak to save you, and he's not becoming deaf. He can hear you when you call, but there's a problem. Your sins have cut you off from God. Because of your sin, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. What I have found to be true in my life, and maybe this is where you are in your life today, I have found that the number one thing that restores and repairs my communication and my closeness with God is just authentic, sincere, humble confession. It's coming to God and telling him what he already knows, right? It's saying, God, here's what's going on in my life. Here's who I am. It's laying out your heart, that despicable side. That despicable side of me. It's just laying that out to him. And I promise you, God never looks down and says, what? You, huh? He knows how despicable I can be. But if I am wrong, God says, grow. And then here's the fourth thing in understanding how prayer works. And that is, if the request is right and the timing is right and you are right, God says, go. You see, there's a whole lot more going on in prayer than we realized. The request has to be good. The timing has to be just right. You have to be where God needs you, and then God says, go. And I would say to you that nothing jazzes God up more than answering your prayers. But the irony is this. Most of us don't stick around to hear what he has to say. This is the last part of communication with God. This is the part where we listen. We listen. And this is where the circle of communication and prayer becomes broken for most of us. Because while we're praying, we're pretty sure that God is listening. But then as God begins to talk, we walk off. And the circle of communication never becomes a full-fledged conversation. Because we just get too busy. And here's what I want to say to you, friends. Complete prayer is all about, here's the whole deal. Complete prayer is all about learning to slow yourself down for even just a little bit so that you can listen to God's leading in your life. Look at this verse in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 3. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, for the life of your soul is at stake. I want to offer you today a very, very practical, actually very simple, tried and true, guaranteed way to slow yourself down and listen to God. This is guaranteed to work. Are you ready for it? It's called journaling. And I know as soon as I start to talk about journaling in a crowd like this, it just usually divides the crowd. Because all of the ladies are going, yes, finally, journaling. And you're already thinking about Target and the colored pens you're going to buy and all sorts of things. And the guys in the audience are saying, what? Journaling? Are you serious? You're going to talk about journaling in mixed company? You traitor? Are you journaling? And listen, I understand that. But here's what you got to understand, that journaling is simply keeping a record of what God is doing in your life. That's all it is. Keeping a record of what God is doing in your life. If you like to write, write a lot. If you don't like to write, write just a little bit. I've got my journal here with me right underneath my Bible. I started out in my journal for the first few days, years ago, was huge. I was going to go through reams and reams of paper. And then I realized I just couldn't do it. And so every year, I'm just telling you, my journal has gotten smaller and smaller and smaller and thinner and thinner almost every year. And let me tell you something else about my journal. If I was to leave my journal somewhere and you were to come and find it and grab it, if you were to find it up here and you were to start reading through my journal, which would be mean, but if you did that, I just need you to know that you would be, I promise you, you would be completely unimpressed with my journal. You know why? Because I don't think I've ever really written anything profound in my journal. But you know what else? For me, that's not the point. The point for me is that I have slowed myself down enough to listen to God in my life. That's why I do it. And this may sound strange, but for me, sometimes the only way that I can be sure that God hasn't lost his voice in my life is to go back and read through some of my journal entries and statements. I heard an incredible story a while back, a true story about a guy named George Mueller. George Mueller was an incredible man of God. You can read all kinds of books about him. About a century ago, I believe, is when he lived. And he journaled his prayers for like 50 years. It finally came that a day where George died and all of his family came into his house and his estate. And they started to go through his library and they began to see all of these journals. And they started to read through them. And as they started to read through his journals, they started to see all these underlined sections in the journal. And they didn't know exactly what these underlined sections were. And then as they looked a little more carefully, they realized that's how he denoted answered prayers. He would just go back and underline things that God had done one way or the other. And so they decided for the next few weeks, it was going to take a while to read through all of his journals. For the next few weeks, they would just keep track of how many underlined sections there were. So a few weeks go by, they read through all of his library, all of his journals. They come back together as a family. They collaborate. They put together how many underlined sections. And no kidding, true story, do you know how many there were? Over 50,000 underlined sections in this guy's journal. That's like 1,000 answered prayers a year. Every year for 50 years. That's pretty good. That's like 83 answered prayers a month. If you want to do the math, 20 answered prayers a week. 3 answered prayers a day. Every day, day in and day out for 50 stinking years. I mean, what an incredible faith this guy must have had to see God answer prayer after prayer after prayer, day after day after day. And some of you right now, I know in your mind are going, man, that is cool. That is amazing. That is inspiring. Wow. But here's what you're thinking in your mind. Todd, that is incredible. But here's the deal. God doesn't work like that for me. Okay? Pastor Todd, I'm just a normal guy. Pastor Todd, I'm just like this girl who's trying to make it through life. God doesn't work that way for me. And can I just say this to you with every ounce of love, but also every ounce of boldness I can? How do you know? How do you know if you don't keep track? Could it be that even right now, God is in heaven saying, I wish you could see what I'm up to in your life. You would be so much stronger in July if you had just been keeping track of what I was doing in June. Let me ask you this. Have you ever been involved in a vibrant, healthy relationship with somebody where you did all the talking? Me neither. So here's the takeaway today. The takeaway is very simple. That is to spend one month, the month of July. It starts this Monday, the month of July, just keeping track of your communication with God. If you like to write a lot, write a lot. If you don't want to write very much, just write a little bit. If you're a guy and you want to write some things down on a tablet or a computer or your iPhone, just write a little bit. Maybe you don't even say, I'm going to go the whole month of July. Maybe you just go for the first week of July. But I promise you, friends, I promise you, you will be so much stronger and so much closer to God in August if you will just begin to keep track of your communication with God in July. Let's do pray together. God, thank you so much for choosing to listen to us. And I don't understand exactly how all that works and how you do it, but I thank you and I trust that you do. And I do realize that you do respond to my prayers, not always the way I would like, but you do. God, I pray that we would realize that the miracle is you're listening, not us talking. God, thank you for the opportunity for us to sing and to study your word today and to grow closer to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen, amen.